Blog Talk Radio.
Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, the largest online directory of Christian women speakers in the world, you're listening to Marnie's Friends.
Welcome to Marnie's Friends, the online training show where experts share insights into aspects of life and leadership that take you from surviving to thriving ASAP. Right now, you are about to discover practical, doable success strategies to shorten your learning curve, increase your productivity, and skyrocket your delight in life. Be sure to thank today's guests by sharing this program via your favorite social media outlet, and swing by Marnie.com and give me a shout out too. Now let's get going with today's episode of Marnie's Friends. Hey everybody, welcome, welcome. This is Marnie Friedberg and you're joining us for Marnie's Friends. Today we're going to be talking with Donna Gaines about how to choose wisely and live fully. You want to grab a notepad of some kind because during the next hour you're going to discover three critical lessons to learn and apply today. How to view mistakes as opportunities for growth. Four things you can do to find the security your heart desires. Where to find unconditional love and true significance. Eight ideas for staying on track, as well as how to live and lead in order to leave a legacy for your children. Our guest today is Donna Gaines. She's a speaker, an author, and the founder of Arise to Read and a Bible study leader. She's a pastor's wife, and you can check out her resources and her most recent book, which is Choose Wisely, Live Fully, over at donnagaines.org. Welcome to you, Donna. So excited to have you here today.
Thank you, Marnie. Delighted to join you.
Well, you have spent your life serving us by helping us become aware of the pitfalls that are really out there wanting to steal our joy and to rob us of the abundant life that Jesus promises. How did God show you your direction in life? Where you were supposed to go with all this?
You know, I think, Marnie, I had to go all the way back to college, and that was the time that I began to really own my faith. Started reading the Bible seriously for the first time and realized my life didn't really match up with the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And that began a journey of wanting to walk and talk with God and wanting my life to look like the lives of those who knew Him intimately in Scripture.
Mm-hmm. And you have come to three critical lessons that really can help us to change things, change the trajectory of our lives, things that we can learn and apply right away. Can you share those with us?
We know we've got to learn how to choose the Word of God over our feelings. One of the things I told my daughters, in fact, this book is really a result of truths the Lord revealed to me as I studied Proverbs 1-9. I talked to our oldest daughter as she was going into high school and realizing that we as women so often make decisions based on our emotions, feelings, and I told my daughters over and over, feelings are not truth. And as they grew up, I had to remind them, your feelings are not truth, God's Word is truth. And if we will choose and make decisions based on the truth of God's Word, our feelings will eventually line up.
So choosing the Word over feelings, what's another one?
Absolutely. Well, understanding that the enemy is constantly tempting us to go our own way, to listen to the lies of the evil one, and being able to take thoughts captive, just as we refuse our feelings and choose to make decisions based on the truth of God's Word, we also have to take wrong ways of thinking, those discouraging thoughts, those fearful and anxious thoughts. We take those captive to the obedience of Christ and we replace them with what is true. Because when we fall into sin, one of the points I make in my book is that sin, our own sin, is the thief of our significance.
Explain that a little bit more. What are you thinking there?
When we really understand that our significance is in Christ, that we are created in the image of God, and that He has a purpose and a plan for our life. If I begin to grasp how significant my life is in the overall purpose and plan of God, I'm going to pray more, I'm going to believe more, I'm going to expect more, and I'm going to attempt more on behalf of Him and His kingdom.
Hmm. Well, it's always to Satan's benefit to have us live small, live stuck.
Absolutely.
Live broken.
Yeah, right.
Right, and that's why my goal is to get women in the Word of God. I did that with our daughters. We have a son and three daughters, and it was when our daughter was entering high school that I began discipling her and her three best friends. I was able to do it with my other daughters as well. And so I have written down and choose wisely, live fully from the study out of Proverbs 1 through 9 of really contrasting the two women personified there, wisdom and folly, and the two different paths that they depict and illustrate for us. And coming to the realization, it was so clear as I began highlighting and underlining and making a list with the, you know, all the blessings under wisdom, all the curses associated with folly. And once you go through chapters 1 through 9 and step back and look at those two lists, you think, who in their right mind chooses curses and death? And yet we all do. Every time we elevate our reasoning above the Word of God or think we know better than God does.
What was the third lesson that you found there?
You know, and I don't know that I could boil it down to just three, but I would go back to what I was just sharing with you about biblical literacy. If we can know the Word of God and know the big story, the framework of God's Word, I tell women all the time, biblical literacy is the greatest apologetic. If you will get in the Word of God and know God's Word, it is His Word that shores up our faith, that it increases our faith, that enlarges our vision of who He is.
Yeah, and it's very difficult to stand against things that are coming at us that are not of God if we aren't even aware of which would be from God and which aren't. It's just so important to have that foundation.
And
if you're a new Christian, to surround yourself with people who are a little farther down the road than you are, you know, until you get your legs under you a little bit. Because we're easily...
Exactly. Get in the women's Bible study. Right. A Sunday school class somewhere where you can have some accountability, develop friendships so that you can grow.
How do you view mistakes as opportunities for growth?
We can always learn from our mistakes. You know, I can remember hearing Beth Moore teach quite a few years ago, and she said, you know, my problem is God keeps having to take me on the field trip. She said, I wish I could learn the lesson without having to take the field trip. And so often it isn't until we make those wrong choices and suffer the consequences that we learn those lessons. And it's unfortunate for us because if we'll get in the Word of God, we can learn those lessons from other people's lives who have gone before us and who have been recorded for us in God's Word. And then we can make choices that lead to life. You know, when you look through Scripture, you see that there's an overarching theme that God comes to give us life. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And when God gave His laws to Moses, just before the Israelites were going into the Promised Land, Moses went back over all the commands that God had given. And he was very clear and told the people, if you obey these commands, God will bless you. But if you don't, here are the curses. These are the things that will happen to you if you don't obey God's word. And when he finished that, he said to everyone who was listening, I have set before you today life and death, blessing and a curse. Choose life that you may live, you and your descendants. You know, Marnie, that's something a lot of times we don't think about. We think about, well, my decisions only impact me, but they don't. Every choice we make has a ripple effect, and they impact our descendants.
I think the other thing is to balance that with the reality that God uses our weaknesses just as much as our strengths, and that
absolutely
is so big and so powerful on our behalf. Just this morning I was talking with somebody, and she's reminding me about the story of Peter. When Jesus says, you know, you're going to deny me three times. You know, Satan has asked for 50, like, you're going to deny me three times. And then he says, but when you return, build up the brethren. You know, and it's like God already knows we're going to slip and fall. There's no condemnation for us now in Christ Jesus. But the joy, the delight, the true abundant living comes when we choose Christ and when we walk faithfully with Him.
Absolutely. Yeah, and He takes what the devil meant for evil and turns it into good. Not only good for us, but good for others, because we're able to come alongside them and comfort them with the comfort with which we've been comforted, because God does come in once we repent and comfort and restore and redeem.
Oh, yeah, there's just so much hope. There's just so much hope in that. And we're going to come back in just a few seconds here and talk a little bit more about four things you can do to find the security your heart desires. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Do you
ever need a guest speaker, or maybe you're a speaker who's available to go, check out womenspeakers.com, the largest online directory of Christian women speakers in the world since 2002. Connecting thousands of planners with over 1,300 speakers, speakers are available to you from every state, denomination, experience level, and fee range. You simply search when you have time, anytime, day or night, and connect directly with the speakers that interest you. No middlemen, no hidden fees. It's all simple, easy, enjoyable, and online. Check it out today at womenspeakers.com. That's www.womenspeakers.com.
Welcome back. We're talking today with Donna Gaines of DonnaGaines.org, and Gaines is G-I-N-E-S, DonnaGaines.org, and we're talking about how to choose wisely and live fully, which is the title of her most recent book. Donna, let's talk about four things that we can do to find the security that our hearts desire. But first of all, why do you say that our hearts desire security?
Well, we all long to be secure and safe, and unfortunately, especially I think as women, and I see this in young women, there are incredible insecurities, and I think insecurity feeds anxiety. We have one of the most anxious cultures in the history of the United States, anyway. If you look at stats on depression and anxiety disorders, in 1980, only 2-4% of the population had been on or were on anti-anxiety medication. As of 2014, almost half of our population has been on or is on anti-anxiety or anti-depression medication. Wow. Now, I recognize and realize that depression is very real, and it can have physical roots that need to be dealt with, but I believe that there's a spiritual root and emotional root that's causing the physical problems that we're going to have to deal with as well. And those insecurities are fueled by not knowing who we are in Christ and not having the tools to take thoughts captive and be able to deal with them biblically.
So let's go ahead and just address the first thing that we can do to find that security.
Sure. We need to know, first of all, who we are in Christ. If you're a believer, it's absolutely imperative that you know what the Bible says about those who belong in Christ, about to him, about the promises that we have because we're in him. And the more my identity is rooted in God's word, the more I know who I am in Christ, the less I am going to be able to be affected by just my feelings. The enemy comes after our feelings. The world comes after our feelings. Our relationships can sometimes feel as though they're assaulting our feelings. But when we go back to our personal relationship with Christ and we're having our needs for intimacy and significance and security met, personal relationship with Jesus, we're going to be stable and secure, and we're going to be able to love others out of the overflow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that you're saying, you know, go to Jesus with these. I remember when I was early married, and I kept thinking my husband was supposed to be all those things to me.
Exactly, our Savior, meet our every need, read our mind.
That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah, a little too much weight for
yeah,
a man.
Yeah, how well did that work anybody. Out for you?
Yeah, it didn't work too well. Yeah, but finding the intimacy, the significance, the security in Christ, I mean, this is where it's at. And one of the things I really love to do is when I'm feeling blank, whether it's fearful or insignificant or confused or whatever, I just go out to Google and I just type in Bible verses about whatever, fear, confusion, peace, whatever I need.
Right.
And it's amazing. It'll just pop up a whole list of these. And I love living now. There's so many great resources, including your recent book. And you guys, there's just so much help here for us to understand who we truly are in Christ.
We have so many resources.
We're really blessed. So what's another thing that we can do to find security?
I think the next thing, once you know who you are in Christ, then you've got to deal with those errant thoughts. One of the things my husband likes to say is not every thought you have originates with you. You know, I think sometimes because we have a thought, we think, well, this must be true, or this is how I feel about this. The enemy can shoot fiery darts at us, and quite often those are errant thoughts. It can be a fearful thought. It can be, an angry thought, a lustful thought. And we've got to recognize that anything that doesn't honor Christ, we've got to refuse entrance to our mind. You know, the enemy cannot have access unless I allow him, I heard a speaker years and years ago. I struggled with fear of speaking in public, if you can imagine. And now that's what I do. I teach women in Bible study, but I literally could not stand up in front of a group without having like a panic attack. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. I began to pray about it, and Lord began to show me that it was my lack of faith in him. It was pride. I obviously cared more about what they thought than what he thought. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord really began to deal with me about refusing anxious thoughts. And I heard a speaker say, you have 5 seconds to deal with a thought, or it will deal with you. And that has stuck with me all these years. And for a while, I had to say no, you know, almost out loud. I refused that fearful thought, and I replaced it with the Word of God, like you said. 2 Timothy 1:7 is one I used a lot. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And as I began to claim that, God set me free.
I love that. I use the phrase red flag a lot. When you have thoughts that are just flowing through and there's it's just peaceful and calm, that's great. But as soon as there's a red flag, that's where I look for. That's where I look for a bowl in the china closet.
Right.
And it's like, run those thoughts with Jesus. And I like Revelation 3:20. It's talking to Christians, and it says that Jesus is standing at the door of our heart, and he's knocking, and he's saying,
right,
can I come in and talk to you about this from my perspective? And that's a prayer that I often pray when I have a red flag. I just say, God, just talk to me about this from your perspective. And it's amazing. You know, we're pretty stuck in our own little teeny perspective of what's going on right here within what we can see, you know. And God's got this huge overall perspective, and he can see it all, and he can really bring light into the dark places. So love that.
That's exactly right.
And I do agree, too, that, you know, sometimes these thoughts come from within our own maybe past lies we've believed or whatever, but a lot of times they're fed into us from external. And I don't, you know, I kind of sometimes have a picture of, like, I don't see demons behind every tree or anything, but I sometimes do see a picture of a demon attached to my brain with a talon kind of stuck in there.
Right. Exactly.
You know,
trying
really hard to get me off track.
And you have to pull it out, don't you? You have to uproot it. And that's where, you know, once you've taken those thoughts captive, you recognize, okay, this is not of God, and you refuse an entrance to your mind. That's when you've got to speak and believe God's word. That's when you step out in faith and say, this is what God says about it. Whether you Google, if you're struggling with fear, if you're struggling, you know, with whatever your struggle may be, get those scripture verses, put them on note cards, put them in your purse, take them in the car with you, tape it on your bathroom mirror, but have it ever before you so that you are not only taking thoughts captive, but then replacing the lie with the truth, because there's such power in God's word.
Yeah, I love that. What's another thing we can do to find security?
Well, I think once we learn how to do the battle, because the battle really is in our mind, it's won or lost in how we deal with our thought life. So once we're beginning to speak the word of God and meditate upon it and know it, I believe that's when God really begins to release us and call us into mission with him. God is always at work around us, and he is encouraging us and calling us to join him in advancing his kingdom. And I believe that's when God then reveals his purpose to us, and we're literally transformed as he renews our mind. And he gives us that ability, as you were saying earlier, not have tunnel vision, not to only see what we can see physically, but God begins to allow us to see from a kingdom vantage point. And it may be at that point that he calls you to reach out to someone and share the gospel with them, or to minister to someone, or like he did me a few years ago, call me into a whole new area of ministry with Arise to Read.
You know, in my book, Healing Loved, I list some antidepressant questions, and one of them is, you know, check your vocabulary for how many me's and I's we're using.
Yes, exactly.
Other focus. You know, it gets to the point where we become very internally focused. We're all about the pain.
Right.
We're all about, you know, whatever disappointment we had. And that is just not a healthy place to live. It's not where Jesus lives. I like how you said released into mission with God, because that's exactly what the devil doesn't want us to be.
You're right, which is why he wants to keep us isolated and intimidated. And that's where confessing our sin to one another gets it out in the open, so that it no longer is held in that dark place and has such a stronghold on us. Once it's confessed to a trusted confidant, a mentor in the faith, and you get it out in the open, it's amazing how once it's confessed and prayed about, you look at it and think, no, why did I struggle so much with that? But there's just power in confession and power in getting it out in the open and bringing it into the light of the Word.
Awesome. Don't be isolated and intimidated. I love those. Okay, what's the fourth thing that we can do to find the security our hearts desire?
Your time with the Lord. Nothing replaces your time with Him. And I just encourage people, men and women, but because I so direct, I'm teaching women, is have a time and a place that you meet with the Lord every day and have a method to read through the Word of God. It only takes 15 minutes a day to read through the Bible in a year, and I've been doing it for years. And every year I read things and see things that I think, how have I not seen this before? Or I make a connection that I've missed before, or God begins to speak to me or answer a prayer request through His Word, through the specific portion that I was to be reading that day. We've got 96 15-minute sections, segments in every single day. Can we not give the Lord and His Word 1/96 of our day?
96, that's a great way to put it. Huh, that's great. And you guys, if you want to find a way to do just that, you can, again, Google Bible reading plan, read the Bible in a year. And there's many different ways to go about that. It's not just, you don't have to just go straight from Genesis through Revelation. There's different ways to go about it. And it is fun to kind of switch that up a little bit, too. Maybe 1 year do the chronological Bible or, you know, different things like that. And it's just, it is so important for us to continue to have quiet time with God, just with Him and us. There's a new song that came out by Emmanuel Christian Center here in Minneapolis recently, and it's called Seek You First, and talks about the busyness of life. And I'm sorry that I haven't blocked out time for you. And what I want to make a commitment to do is to seek You first. Seek You first in all things. And when we do that, you know, if we seek first the kingdom of God, then everything else will fall into place.
That's right.
Well, this is Marnie Sweberg visiting today with Donna Gaines of DonnaGaines.org. We're going to come right back and talk about where to find unconditional love and true significance, as well as start into the 8 ideas for staying on track with a wise life and how to live fully. We'll be right back.
Ready to experience your best life possible and share biblical success principles with others? Register for the SPI Coach Certification Program today. SPI, or S-P-I, stands for Success Principles Intensive. It's a 6-hour online program that equips you to fully comprehend and train biblical success principles. You can check it out today over at marnie.com. It's available as part of the mentorship program, or you can buy it as a standalone certification program. Learn more now at marnie.com. That's marnie.com.
Welcome back. This is Marnie, and I'm excited to be sharing this hour with you, learning how to choose wisely and live fully, the name of Donna Gaines' new book, Choose Wisely, Live Fully. I want you to check that out. Right now, we're going to talk about where to find unconditional love and true significance. And I know, Donna, right before the break, we were talking about, you know, obviously Jesus is where we go for this intimacy, significance, and security. Mm-hmm. But I can't even begin to tell you, even, you know, every year I host the Bible Study Expo, and I can't begin to tell you how many of the authors say, I was just thinking I was a Christian. I was thinking I had a good relationship with God, but then I came to understand this intimacy, this true love. Mm. You know, and it's like even people that have walked with Jesus for many years, church girls, are missing this. How do you help your readers? How can you help us to be able to really connect with God's unconditional love?
Yeah, I think there again, it goes back to getting in the Word and believing the Word. And so as you start reading through the Word and you commit, every day we're sowing a seed. We're sowing seeds into our lives as we read the Word of God, as we spend time in prayer, and we get to know Him. We learn to discern His voice. And it's as He reveals Himself through His Word that you fall more deeply in love with Him. And we have those moments of intimacy where the only way I know to describe it is I say the eternal pierces the temporal. When you know that you know you're in the presence of God. And those moments are mountaintop experiences when God breaks through and speaks to you. And they don't happen every day. I mean, oh, we would love it if they did. But they happen often enough if we're faithful to spend time with Him, that knowing He's going to speak but not knowing when keep us going back. Not knowing when He's going to break through and give us a revelation or an understanding that we've not had before. And He only does that for those who seek Him diligently. Scripture says that, when we seek Him with all of our heart. So it's not a haphazard, you know, check this off the list, I'm going to read through the Bible today. No, every time we open the Word of God, we should expect to hear from Him and meet with Him. Because His Word is living and active. It is God-breathed, and it is still breathing. And when we fall in love with Him and let Him meet our needs for intimacy, then we're not walking around like a beggar, sucking the life out of somebody else, expecting them to meet needs for us that Christ alone is able to meet.
That's so true. And I think the other thing, too, is just to continually be, even, you know, your time in the Word is great. Meditate on it, memorize it. But then even as you're going through the day, just keep looking to Him for the love, for the significance. It's pretty easy to get, you know, it's really, really easy to forget that as the day goes through, you know, and to start looking to others.
Oh, it's so easy to just slip back into old habits of behavior. And so we've got to retrain ourselves to turn to Him versus another counselor or old habits or ways of coping.
Chris Tomlin, who's written, you know, so many of our favorite songs. He has a quote, living for the applause is no way to live, you know, living for approval.
That's
is no
right.
way to live.
And that's right.
It's so true that the only time that we will truly be at peace, that we will truly feel loved and significant, is with Jesus. No, everybody else's applause or approval is pending reversal.
You know? That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. In fact, I heard Christine Kane say, it was either last year, I think a year ago at Passion, she said, until the light of Christ within you is brighter than the spotlight will kill you. Thought that was so powerful.
Right. Yeah, because even, you know, when I do the spy coaching, the success principles, the definition of a goal is achieving a specific attainment. But if we live like that, you know, then like my friend who's an Olympian, you know, you're working, hoping to become a successful Olympian. And then you finally get there and you get not the gold, but the silver. Now you're up on the podium. Mm-hmm. You get down from the podium and now you begin defending your medal.
Right.
So, you know, there's never any peace. You know, you have a moment of glory and you're right back into the dog pile again. You know, so when we do it with Jesus, you know, it's just so easy. Anytime, any part of the day, or especially like at night, I just check in, how is it with me today? And I'm looking for, well done, my good and faithful servant, today.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not going to wait.
Exactly. That's right.
You know, every day we can be a success or failure with Jesus, walking that out. Just, and the success comes in just walking it with Him. That's exactly the whole deal. Love the
right,
Lord
and
God.
Confessing sin as He reveals it, so that we're walking blamelessly with Him, as the Bible talks about. And that's the really only way to think clearly, and I would even go as far as to say sanely, and that's to think biblically, to see life through the lens of Scripture.
Yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't seem like that could be true. Like, certainly God's given us brains so we can reason things out, but the reality is that we can get mixed up really fast.
Because his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Their heavens are higher than the earth, so are His ways higher than ours. So the only way we can know His mind and think clearly and sanely is to think biblically.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is Barney. We're visiting today with Donna Gaines of DonnaGaines.org, talking about her new book, Choose Wisely and Live Fully. And you can check that out at any major bookseller or over at her site, DonnaGaines.org. We're going to take a short break, come right back, and talk about 8 ideas for staying on track. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
There
there is a huge difference between working for God and allowing God to work through us. My latest book, Flow Through Vessel, explains how to master the habit of letting God flow through our lives. When we try to do everything good for God, we quickly fail. But when we learn how to allow God to flow His life and love through us, we find strength for the day. Check out this new Bible study resource at www.marnie.com. That's www.marnie.com.
Welcome back. We are talking today with Donna Gaines on the subject of choose wisely and live fully. And we're having a good time talking about how to find our security and significance in Christ. And Donna, the next thing I want us to do is start into these 8 ideas for staying on track. And the reality is that we get off track really. I'm just doing right now a 21-day win, and I'm on day 12. And it's interesting that on about day 10, you have this really strong desire to shift gears, to go and focus on something else. Because 10 days in, doing pretty well. Okay, I'm just going to, you know, maybe I'll add something to this or I'll do something else, you know. And it's so funny how really we are very easily distracted. And we can lose track of what's important really easily, can't we?
Absolutely. We sure can.
Yeah. So you have 8 ideas for staying on track. So why don't you just start with the first one?
Well, reading and memorizing scripture, you know, it goes back there again to that foundation of having a plan and a system to read through God's word in a year. And that's your foundation. And then you build upon that with prayer. You know, the second thing I would say is prayer. If it takes 15 minutes a day to read through the Bible in a year, that's 1/96 of your day. Can you not take another 1/96 of your day to spend in prayer? That's only 30 minutes of a day that you spend reading God's word, listening to His voice, and then responding to it through prayer, lifting your prayer request and desires up to Him. And I love to keep a prayer notebook, and I just have a 3-ring binder, Marnie, that I write down requests in, mark down things God puts upon my heart, and I write down the date that I start praying it, and I put down the answer when God gives an answer. And that is such a faith booster. I love my prayer notebook, and I tell you what, I love looking back through it and seeing how God has answered prayer through the years.
I love that, too. Let's go back to the first one, to read and memorize scripture before we keep going here. On that, memorizing scripture, so there's an app out here that does this right now, but on my website, too, you can get the scripture memorization tool, and it makes it so easy. What you do is you just copy and paste the verses or whatever you want to memorize into there, and then it takes it and it formats it for you. It gives you the first letter of each word in the same format, and it also does a game with you where it eliminates first the 10-letter words, then the 9-letter words, then the 8-letter words, like that. So that's what I have to do in order to memorize. I have to kind of go through this process where I kind of get started, and then
right.
You print it out, and it's like a 3x5 card size. And you fold it over, and on the one side it has the full verse, and on the other side it just has the first letters of each word. And so, you know, it allows me to take it with. But what I really love about scripture memorization is the meditation that goes along with that.
Right.
It's getting deeper into me than if I just read it. Or even
exactly.
If I read it and do a word study on it. When you're memorizing it,
right.
you're thinking deeply.
You are, and as you're going over it and you take the card with you in the car or you're in carpool and you're reviewing it, it's amazing how many times a phrase out of that particular verse almost jumps off the page and how God just speaks to you through His word. It's a powerful tool.
It is. And Bill Gothard, who was, he's the founder of a large organization that trained, you know, millions of people. He said that he felt like that memorizing scripture was the most powerful thing if you want life change, because it's not just skimming, it's really going deeper. You're really,
right.
Really
well,
meditating.
It's renewing your mind.
It renews your mind.
It absolutely does.
Mm-hmm. Right. Whatever you're memorizing, it's changing how you were thinking about that to match up with how God's thinking about it. And the other thing I wanted to mention about the scripture memorization is I've memorized hundreds and hundreds of verses over my life and whole passages of the Bible, some of which I could quote to you today, some of which I couldn't. And I used to kind of experience some guilt about that. And that just freed me and said, you know, there's so much benefit to the memorization aspect. Don't feel like you have to keep them all up all the time, you know, to be Johnny on the spot with the whole verse and the reference and all. Just go ahead and memorize them. Put them deeply in your heart. Review them as you can. But don't let Satan guilt you into, well, if you can't remember, you know, letter and verse and all that, you're not doing it right.
The reference,
There isn't a right? It's just... It's a process. It's not a right or wrong.
It is. And it's planting the word in your heart. And it's amazing how the moment you need it, God will bring the truth back to your mind. Whether you're sharing with someone or you're up against a test or temptation on your own, God allows that word that you've hidden in your heart to come up at the moment that you need it.
It's in there. You don't have to worry about
That's right.
But, okay.
That's right.
Yeah. So let's talk about prayer a little bit too. You know, one of the things, my mom, I'm staying with my mom right now. I'm doing 12 days on, 2 days I get to go back home with my husband right now. This is how we're doing. She's deepening into her dementia, which is so sad. I can't even tell you how sad this is to watch. But one of the things, she's just been such a prayer warrior. And in fact, it's such a to the point where she's not Catholic, but she had a rosary with a bead, and so she had a bead for each person she was trying to remember to pray for, you know, so she'd get them all that night.
Yeah.
And, now she can hardly remember anything. But one of the things that I did when I came was I made a little bucket, and we went through her prayer list, and I said, you know, who's this person? And if she could tell me, the name went into the bucket. And if she couldn't remember who they were, then we just let those people go. And so what we do is we just take out a card each, and she reads the name, and if she can remember it, you know, she can pray for it, or she remembers mine, I'll switch with her or whatever. And sometimes she'll say, get another one.
Get another one.
It's so precious.
Isn't that precious?
On the day she's not able to remember how to pray at all, you know? I mean, it's just like, oh, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But the beautiful thing is that prayer changes things. Prayer changes us.
That's right.
And it's so important to build it in whichever way you do, you know, whether it's a, you know, a drawing bin or a three-ring binder or a notebook or a thing on your computer. Build it in. Build specific prayer times in, as well as just breathing the air of prayer.
Exactly. My husband uses business cards, blank business cards that he puts prayer requests on, as well as scripture promises that God has given him. And he just puts a rubber band around them, and they're in his pocket or in his briefcase, and they go with him everywhere he goes. If he's driving, he can pull them out and pray through them and meditate on those scripture promises. But he has done that for years.
Yeah. And I think the critical thing here is that you guys, as you're listening to, the critical thing is to not make these a rule or something that's heavy and burdensome, but rather to make it your own, whatever works for you. You know,
that's right. That's right. Exactly.
Match up to something. It's just a relationship. You're having a relationship with God, and these are things that will help you keep on track. Just like in your marriage, you wouldn't just go, you know, dating other men all the time and expect your marriage to be good. It's the same with God. We need to keep our minds focused on Him. Okay, so what is the third thing we can do?
Reading Christian classics and biographies. You know, I was never formally discipled as a young woman, and I used to teasingly tell the women I discipled, I was discipled by dead people because of the writings. And it has been such an enriching activity for me to read biographies of those who've walked with the Lord and to read great Christian books and classics. So I actually have included a list of suggested reading material in the back of the book that I usually recommend to the women that I teach or disciple.
Okay, and for those of you listening today, I'm going to throw out a couple of my favorites, and then, Donna, you get to throw out a couple of your favorites. So
okay.
A couple of mine are Bruchko. That's spelled Bruchko. That story is absolutely riveting, a true story. And then another one is Heavenly Man. And that one I would say was probably the most convicting book I ever wrote, but it was fantastic, absolutely fantastic. What are a couple of your favorites, Donna?
Well, one of the ones that I use with my discipleship groups is The Release of the Spirit by Watchman Nee. When I was growing spiritually, when Steve and I were first married, I started reading Watchman Nee, the great Chinese evangelist, and I didn't really understand the spirit-filled life. He did the most for me in understanding the spirit-filled life. But then I also loved Tozer. The Pursuit of God and the Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer are just game changers. tremendous books.
Oh,
in fact, I
awesome.
Read them usually annually.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's
Love
great.
Love Your Christianity, okay. too, by C.S. Lewis.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know there's so many. You got to get the book, guys, and she'll list them all for you there. Okay.
That's right.
So
that's
what,
right.
Is the fourth, what is the fourth idea for staying on track with God?
Investing in worship music. I love to listen to praise music. I like to fill the atmosphere of our home with praise music. When our children were growing up in the morning, we only allowed praise music in our home before they left for school. Now, my husband listened some to country music. They would listen to a variety of other things. But in the morning, we only allowed praise music in our home because you know yourself, the last song you hear before you go out the door is the one that plays in your mind the rest of the day. So I wanted them to be meditating, thinking about the Lord, have those songs in their heart and their mind. I would buy Christian CDs for them, take them to Christian concerts. So I just encourage people to invest in worship music. Now it's so easy to download on your phone or iPad and listen to.
I can't agree with you more. I just, music, and part of it is because it's affecting the other side of the brain. So your brain is busy
right.
working through problems all day. And the music just takes you into a whole different sphere. And spiritually, it takes you into a different spirit. You think about in the Bible,
that's
and
right.
where did God put the worship leaders? He put them right out in front of the
warriors. That's exactly right.
Okay. And, you know, it's just a crazy plan, but it's because it changes things. It changes the atmosphere in which we dwell.
That's right.
So, you know, and I remember one time, my kids were little, and I was so exhausted. I was so exhausted that I was actually sitting in a chair in a fetal position, you know, just completely shut down. And
right.
I was like, God, I just have to have some energy right now. And the thought came to my mind to just go and at that time put in a cassette of worship music.
Right.
And I thought, it's all the way over there. I don't know if I can do it, but I did. I got up and I dragged myself over there and I stuck the cassette in and I turned on play. And within a couple minutes, like within 3 minutes, I was literally dancing and twirling my little guy around with me in a dance. And that's how fast God can change the atmosphere outside of us and inside of us with worship music. It's so
that's
powerful.
Exactly
so
right.
next time you don't know what to do, put on some worship music. I'm so glad you mentioned that one. Okay, what's number five?
Then be actively engaged in discipleship. You know, the Lord, that was his command to us, go and make disciples. So we need to be actively sharing the gospel, but then also actively teaching and training other disciples. And I think sometimes if people haven't been discipled, they feel inadequate or not really ready. But all it takes is just jump in and read the Bible. God's given us the Holy Spirit. The Bible really teaches itself. So the main thing is just to be accountable, to work through Scripture, to read other books together, to memorize Scripture. That accountability that happens in discipleship allows you to really deepen friendships as you grow in your relationship with the Lord and with each other.
I just heard this week about centers that are starting to pop up around the United States, the drop-in centers for new believers who have questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's just faithful saints are there, and the new believers can just come in any time and be one-on-one or in a small group and ask their questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking
that's
about
great.
How much spiritual growth the mentors would have in that program because new believers
right.
ask the hardest questions ever.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And that's good for
us.
It's good for us to dig. And I tell my ladies sometimes, they can ask questions
important.
I can't answer. And I'll say, hey, if we don't know, let's dig this next week and we get back together. Let's come back and see what we have found. You know, get your study Bibles
absolutely.
Out and start, looking for answers.
Yeah, discipling someone else is actually one of the most powerful tools in building our own faith.
It is. It absolutely is. Because when you're studying to be able to articulate truth to someone else, then you
right.
actually own it. It becomes a part of you, and it really does. It's like memorizing Scripture. It really does change who you are. It changes and renews your mind.
Yeah, instead of just believing it because God said it, you actually know why God said it. You can go
right.
back and understand God's heart. And I remember when that shift came for me when I moved from thinking of God's rules as confining to thinking of God's rules as protective. You know,
that's right.
Like
protective
a parent
and actually
of a child saying, liberating, absolutely. Yeah, because this is actually for my good. This is not to ruin
That's
my
right.
life. This is for my good. You know, and so as we disciple others, we move from the very childish perspective of what God is doing into this more aware reality that God is so much love and all of these things are for our good. Okay,
That's
what's
exactly
the sixth
right.
idea?
To serve within the body of Christ or in your community, we are called to serve. Jesus Christ said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life. And so we are, as we follow him and obey his example, we're going to be serving others. It's a little bit about what we talked about before. You know, sin can lead us into becoming very introspective and inward focused. And if you go back to Genesis chapter 3, really sin is self-awareness. Because Adam and Eve were in the garden before sin, and they were naked and unashamed. They were not separated or aware of self. And after sin, the first thing that happened, what do? They're hiding from each other, and they're hiding from God. They're self-aware. And that's what sin is. That's a red flag for me. Anytime I'm more focused on myself, that's a red flag that I'm slipping back into the flesh. Or anytime, you know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, when Paul was rebuking the Christians and telling them they were carnal, that they were not living as mature believers, even though they should be. He said, strife, there's strife and jealousy among you. Are you not living like mere men? So if I'm experiencing feelings of strife, confusion, jealousy, those are red flags. Whoa, whoa, Donna, you're slipping back into the flesh. You've got to step back into faith and choose to walk in the Spirit. And so as we do that, we're going to be focused more on God's kingdom and on serving others and taking the gospel to those who haven't heard.
I was just working on something this morning, and that is a really good word for me personally. That sin is self-awareness. That's just so helpful to actually spell that out, you know, like that. That's a great great reminder and a good litmus test.
Absolutely. Well, and one of the things I think the Lord was showing me as I was even doing this study was that the more I love him, once my love for Christ surpasses my love for self, sin is defeated. Sin has a hold on me when I'm focused on self. When I'm focused on Christ and I set my gaze on him and my mind on things above, it's amazing how sin loses its hold.
That is so cool. That's cool. Okay, what's number seven?
Pray for missionaries and mission organizations and support them financially. We need to be on mission with God. Henrietta Mears is another one of my mentors, even though she mentored me through her books. And the biography on her entitled Dream Big challenged tremendously. And one of the things she said was that God has the world on his heart, and anything less than that on ours is not worthy of him. So we need to have the world on our heart.
That's beautiful. Yeah, and I pray through the countries of the world and the states, and it does not take very long to do that. It's amazing. It's, you know, back to your 96% of the day, you know, 15-minute segments. You know, it's amazing how fast we can accomplish so much in the unseen world if we will just do it, make it a priority and do it. And, yeah,
right.
I love that. I love that. And I know your heart is very much her mission. You have been a lot of places and sowed so many seeds into that. And you guys who are listening, this is just, you know, in America, we can get very, very self-focused, very internally,
right.
and how we're going to spend our money on all of these things for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
It doesn't take very much money at all to make a big difference in another culture, in another country. And so just
That's
really
right.
ask God, where can I help? What can I, you know, where can I put my money? Where can I put these things that will actually increase the kingdom of God instead of just maybe increasing
right.
my comfort zone or something? Yeah, huge, huge, huge.
Exactly.
Okay, what's number eight?
Number eight is to go. We're going to pray and have the world on our heart, and then God's going to call you to go. So go on a short-term mission trip. One of the greatest, most powerful things we did for our children was to take them on mission trips outside the United States. And it helps them realize how big the world is, and they see God working in other cultures and countries, and it enlarges their view of God as well. It really does a number on materialism, because there's always an adjustment when you come back. You feel guilty about how blessed we are in America when you see how full of joy other believers are in other nations who have so little.
Yeah, I remember when we went to Peru and we were with this group that had nothing. You know, they just had, they had nothing. And up on the wall, on this one side on the wall were some pictures. And I went over to look at the pictures and my husband joined me and we're like, what are these pictures of? And they said, oh, that's our missions outreach. And we're like, you have missions outreach? You know, because we were out to them reaching out to them. You know, they had missions outreach to the people in the in the forest who just had, you know, a cardboard box over a branch. You know, and it's like, oh, God has worked for everybody. You know, it doesn't have to be this big, magnificent, you know, pulpit ministry in order for you to be making a difference in missions around the world.
That's right.
It can just be whatever God puts on your heart. You just pursue that, and He will bless it, and He will multiply it.
That's right.
Love that.
Well, and there's plenty of missions for all of us right where we live as well, if we'll just open our eyes.
There. That's true. That's true. And a lot of times that's where God's calling us. It's just right up the street. You know, so.
Right.
Okay. We are nearing the end of our hour, and I wanted to get to this. You have some ideas to share with us about how to live and lead in order to leave a legacy for our kids. So do you want to talk about that for a few minutes?
Sure. We want to leave a legacy of blessing, and that's what Moses was talking about when he said, choose life that you may live, you and your descendants. We're all leaving a legacy. And if we'll choose to obey God and let Him move and work in our lives and value His word and His truth above all else, then we're modeling for our children how to honor and obey the word of God. And we will be blessing them with a legacy of faith. I'm blessed to have parents who are believers and who raised me in a Christian home and who raised me in church. And my father would, I mean, he was a great listener, and he would always listen if we had problems as children or teens and help us to weigh out the pros and cons. But he would always go back to, ultimately, you're going to find your answer on your knees. You'll find the answer on your knees. I can't tell you how many times he told me that. Well, that became entrenched in my heart and mind. And even as an adult, it is so much easier for me to trust the Lord because I saw it modeled in my parents' life. So if we want to pass that same legacy on, passion is caught more than it's taught. We need to be living it before our children and our grandchildren.
My parents were such an example of this, and I remember one time not getting my scripture memory work done in time, and my mom was big on that, and so she said, "Well, you will not be going to school today, and you will finish those passages, and then you can go to school tomorrow." And, you know, it's like, yeah, right, because she was walking the talk. You know, she wasn't
talking.
This is important to me. This is a little important to me. You know, our kids are watching where our priorities are. You know, where's the money going? Where's the time going? Where's the love going?
What do you talk about? What do you talk about the most?
Yeah.
What do you value? Do you turn to God's word when you're making a decision? Do you pray about decisions? Absolutely. They're watching.
Yeah. It's so important for us to recognize that our lives really are all every day on camera. They really are in front of the people around us and our children. And
that's
even,
right.
You know, the cloud of witnesses around us. And, you know, these people that have gone before, they're cheering us on in our faith. And
right.
It is doable
right.
to walk out this life with Christ, no matter how difficult some days may be. And God's got us. God has so got us.
He does. And this is only temporary. And so it's a good reminder to me to live today for that day, the day I stand before Him. And all I have to do is do that today. I don't have to worry about tomorrow or next week. All I have to think about is live today for that day, the day I see Him.
That's awesome. Live today for that day. Donna, do you have a favorite Bible verse or maybe a theme verse for life?
You know, my life verse is Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we can begin to ask or imagine, according to His power that lives within us. God gave me that verse, oh goodness, not long after my husband and I were married, and we've been married 37 years. So God has really revealed the truth of that word in my life through my life experiences now that I'm able to look back. Even when I shared with you about overcoming panic attacks and fear and God developing a Bible teaching ministry for me with women and then leading me to write, and He has done exceeding abundantly beyond anything I would have ever dreamed or imagined, but it was only because I believed him, I obeyed him, and I stepped out of my comfort zone. God is constantly pushing me out of my comfort zone, and I know that's how he works. So, Marnie, I know you've experienced that too. Anyone who walks with the Lord is walking on the edge because he keeps pushing us and enlarging our borders.
And I love all the superlatives, exceeding abundant. That's my theme verse for life is 2 Corinthians 9:8 from NIV. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having everything you need, you may abound in every good work. You know, God just loves to do over and above. He does what's needed, yes, but then he just loves to show off and flex his muscles and just big for us. And
that's
it's
abundant
just so
life.
Fun to watch.
Yeah.
It's life in abundance.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, and it kind of flags all the way back to the beginning of the program when you were talking to choose truth, choose God's word over feeling.
That's right.
And that requires faith to believe that even if I can't see one of those big, you know, mountain moving moments right now, I believe that God is capable of that. And I've seen it in my life and I trust him that he can move this mountain for me too. Yeah, whatever it is.
Well, it goes back to Hebrews 11:6. That without faith it's impossible to please him, that those who come to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. If we will just believe those two things, God is who he says he is, and he's a rewarder. He is good.
He is good. God is good all the time.
That's right.
Well, you guys, we've been enjoying your company this afternoon and also our guest, Donna Gaines. Her website is donnagaines.org. Donna, if people go over there, what are they going to find?
Well, they're going to find a link to my book and then also a link to Arise to Read, which is the literacy nonprofit that we have founded in Memphis, Tennessee, where we're recruiting churches to adopt inner city schools, focusing on second graders, understanding it's going to take education and the gospel to break generational poverty. So that's what we're desiring to do and believing God that he's going to do.
Wow. Well, you guys want to go check that out. And Donna, I'm so proud of you. I have no right to be proud of you, but I am proud of you. I'm proud of how you've let God just flow through your life and touch so many people all around the world. And I'm so grateful that you would come and be here with us today.
Thank you for the honor of joining you. It's been a delight. Thank you.
Thank you. And you guys, I want to make sure that you know how to find her. Donna, D-O-N-N-A, Gaines, G-A-I-N-E-S.org. And, of course, my website is marnie.com, M-A-R-N-I-E, and I encourage you also to check out womenspeakers.com, our sponsor, womenspeakers.com. And just right now, lots of brand-new events over at womensevents.info. That's womensevents.info. Before we close today, I just want to thank you once again for joining us. For all of you who join us live, thank you. We've been just consistently number one at Blog Talk Radio. I think it was 2,800 shows today or whatever. Thank you. Thank you for joining us live and keeping this show going. And it's so fun to share with you. If you have someone you would like us to interview, just go ahead and send us a note at marniesfriends.com. And we would love to pursue that. Also, if you have any questions or thoughts about that, just go ahead and use the form that's at that page and we will follow up with that. Thanks again for being here. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day and we'll see you next time at Marnie's Friends. Bye-bye.